I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roman Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, romanoz.com.au.
So Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well Lynn, we are starting this show at Gilgandra, at the Gilgandra Rural Museum.
That's right, and we take the time and chat to Max at the Rural Museum and Historical Society.
Right.
Now this museum, it's run by volunteers.
Okay.
And it's open every day excluding Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And you can wander around, there's so much to see and do. And also too, Gilgandra is home of the Kooi March.
Kooi March? What's the Kooi March?
Well, that was back from World War One,
right?
Where they started off,
okay.
And they did this march from Gilgandra all the way to Sydney, collecting all those that wanted to go and serve for our country.
Kooi.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
And also, too, around Gilgandra, you'll find lots of windmills around town. So
yes.
It's a nice little town to visit,
it
actually.
Is. Oh, look, I love Gilgandra. It's a beautiful place. And Max was so nice to us.
Yes, he was. So, yes, there's a lot to see and do there.
Absolutely. And don't forget Kooi. Now, straight after that, I'm going to be chatting with Barry Bremner.
Ah, yes. Catching up with him again.
Exactly. Now, Barry was on the show last week and he was telling us all about the two books that he's got written. Okay. Now, one of them is Work About Australia, which we discussed that last week. This week, it's Workers on the Wallaby.
Okay. Interesting.
Very interesting. Now, for anybody who missed last week's program, you know, he said there's over 500,000 jobs on the road.
Well, I could believe that.
Yeah, for anybody who's interested in travelling. Now, I know your nephew. He's travelling on the road, isn't he? Young John.
Yes, he is. And he picked up a job picking capsicums up in Queensland.
Well, there you go. See, so capsicums, there's lots of fruit to be picked.
There is.
And you've also got, you know, if you're barista jobs and working in the RSL or the local hotel, as long as you've got your
RSA.
RSA. But, yeah, 500,000 jobs, listeners, okay? So don't think that if you go out there, and then you've also got, like, house sitting and caravan parks are often looking for people. So if you get out there, and you're running a bit short on cash, you can always find work.
Yep.
Absolutely. Now, straight after that, who are we chatting to?
You're going to be chatting to Jeff Diath.
Mr. Diath from Checkweight.
Yes,
now,
that's correct.
What a world of information Mr. Jeff Diath is.
Yes.
Now, last week we were talking about fifth wheelers because there are more and more of these fifth wheelers on the road. Have you noticed?
Yes, I have.
Wait, remember the one we saw was being towed by a fire engine? Where was that? That was in a showground. Can you remember?
Glen Innes.
And the guy had an old fire truck.
Yes, he did.
With 10,000 litres of water on board. Never run out of water with that one, listeners. So anyway, we spoke about the fifth wheeler last week. This week we're talking about motorhomes. Mm-hmm. The pros and cons of motorhomes. What do you think, Lynn? Do you think you prefer a motorhome over a caravan or a fifth wheeler? What's your taste here?
Look, a motorhome would be good, but you're like a snail or a tortoise. You've always got your home on your back.
Okay.
So, you know, you're limited with what you can do. So if you can tow a car behind, well then, yes, it's a good idea.
Okay.
But if you're just going away for a quick weekend or something, well, yeah, it's nice and handy. You can just pull up in a street and no one knows you're actually in there.
That's
so
very true. Very true.
They've all got their fours and against.
Fours and against. You know the thing I like about the fours of it? You can pull, like you said, pull up anywhere.
Yep.
You can pull up in front of somebody's house.
Yep, just put your blinds up and...
And don't tell anybody you're in there. And the neighbour's going to be assuming you've seen the neighbour or the guy across the road.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good way to free camp right in the city.
Yep.
All right. Well, apart from all of this, we've also got a great selection of music.
As requested by the people we interview.
So what do you think, Lynn?
On with the show.
Now, Lynn, before we get on with the show.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'm going to play a song.
Right.
Okay. I'm just trying to think of what we can play. How about we start off with a Johnny Williamson classic? What do you think?
Yes.
How about Raining on the Rock, even though we know we're near the rock?
Mm-hmm. pastel red to burgundy and spinifex to gold. We've just come out of the Mulga where the plains forever roll. And Albert Namajira has painted all the scenes, and a shower has changed the luster of his land. And it's raining on the rock in a beautiful country. And I'm proud to travel this big land like an Aborigine. And it's raining on the rock. What an almighty sight to see. I'm wishing on a postcard that you were here with me. Everlasting daisies and a beautiful desert rose. Where does their beauty come from? Heaven knows. I could ask the Wedgetail, but he's away too high. I wonder if he understands. It's wonderful to fly. And it's raining on the rock in a beautiful country. And I'm proud to travel this big land like an Aborigine. Raining on the rock, what an almighty sight to see. And I'm wishing on a postcard that you were here with me. Described with a picture, the mesmerizing colors of the alders, or the grandeur of the rock. Uluru has power, and it's raining on the rock in a beautiful country. And I'm proud to travel this big land like an Aborigine. And it's raining on the rock, what an almighty sight to see. And I'm wishing on a postcard that you were here with me.
Hello listeners, Phil C here with Lynn, and we're at Gilgandra, and we are at the
Gilgandra
Museum. All right.
Okay, and I'm with Max. How are you today, Max?
I'm not too bad, thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time. So can you tell us a little bit about the Gilgandra Museum?
The Gilgandra Museum originally started quite a long time ago, but then it came into this building here, or that building there, in 1996. And it was opened, and it's been extended three times to fit things in.
Yes.
And there's, you know, many more things that could come in that relate to the Gilgandra area that aren't in there. Probably with a little bit of reorganisation we can add more to it. But it's certainly a very interesting museum. The cross-section, we've got very rare tractors in there. We've got a printing press from down the street here, the old lead... I forget what you call it, but anyway, everything was made with lead before they printed.
Right.
There's an old telephone exchange with the cords on it, where when you rang in, you put the
Yep.
Corn in.
Yes.
There's many, many telephones. It's great to get children in here because they, how do you operate that phone?
Yeah. Exactly. And how do I get YouTube on that?
Yeah, exactly. It's that wonderful education. Then to see the buggies mm-hmm. and the horses, there's actually solid horses being bought to put in front of the buggies. There's another one in a sloping thing that the horse walks all the time, and that drives the cleaning machine to clean wheat.
Oh, okay.
Grains. This, look, it just goes on and on what you can see here.
A lot of things that, you know, children now would not know about, like, as you said, the telephones. And I did hear that there was an old cooktop in there, a wood-fired stove and everything else. So
there is.
Yes.
The old chip heaters for heating the water before to put in the bathtub.
Yeah. No, that, yes.
You know, they're here and they're set up in the room just down the side there. And it's set up as a little hospital there. There's actually an old birthing bed mm-hmm. in there from the days, and a lot of the tools and equipment that the doctors used in the earlier days.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go around a little bit further and there's a school that's been brought in from out near Turrawina, built many, many years ago. It's got the old long desks in there and the
inkwells
is where you put the pens on the front of it.
I remember those desks from, yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's going back a little bit.
My very word it is. When you go on a... Sorry.
No, you're right. Keep going, Matt.
Go on a little bit further and, you know, we had a dairy here owned by the Hargraves brothers and a lot of their equipment is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, supplied Gilgandra with all the milk and so forth, and then there's many ale machines, and then you come around into the main museum that we've been talking about.
Right. And I noticed out the front you've got windmills as well that are powering...
the kangaroo and Ned Kelly.
Yes, that's correct. Very clever.
Very clever. Who thought of that, Max?
It's a chap that lived out at Turrawina and in fact, he even built the observatory that's down here. Very clever farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And he and my dad did a lot of work here together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They just suited each other and they certainly did a lot of work here. But that Howard Rotary Hoe out there, my great uncle was the man that built the first one.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Cliff Howard.
Oh, okay.
My mother was a Howard and her father's brother was Cliff Howard.
So you've been in this area for quite a while then, obviously.
The longest I've been away from Gilgandra is 6 weeks.
Really?
So you were born in Gilgandra, mate?
Yes.
And lived here all your life with the exception of 6 weeks. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. And also, too, I noticed that you've got a couple of posters with regards to the Kooee March, which Gilgandra's famous for.
Exactly.
Back in 1915, I think it was, where 35 soldiers
finished
started.
Up in Sydney. 26 left here.
Yeah, 26.
And they kept joining them as they went down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Some of them went to the ball the night before they left, and they thought, oh, we're going to join this. So they went home, got their gear, and caught up with them. Yep. Out along the road somewhere.
Oh, right.
And once again, Cliff Howard's and my grandfather's brother was finished up marching with them in Sydney.
Oh, right, okay.
Yes. That what you're pointing out there now is that they were raising money to build a hospital here in Gilgandra.
Right.
And they, if you wrote on there, put your name on there, it cost you sixpence.
Oh, right.
Okay. In other words, 5 cents these days.
Yeah.
And then a lady crocheted the whole lot. Do you call it crochet?
Oh.
Anyway, she stitched the whole lot.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, embroidery.
Embroidered, that's the word.
So it's an embroidered, I guess it's a sheet or a blanket, isn't it?
It's a sheet.
It's the size of a bed sheet.
Yes.
Wow.
And if you could only get all the names, you'd know how many sixpences they raised. But
wow,
that
was a minimum.
That's
and then
impressive.
Next to that, you can see the Lloyd Middleton thing there. He went to school in Gilgandra here for a while, and not long. But, you know, we've had quite a few people go to war from here.
Yes.
And, you know, away from here, there's a lot of other things that you can visit in Gilgandra.
There is, okay.
What would you suggest, Max?
Yes.
Well, for our listeners.
It's regarded as the town of windmills.
Yes.
And we're known for the windmills, and you understand a windmill is designed to bring up the sub-artesian water.
Correct, yes.
So before a town water system was here, we had, they drew either rainwater tank or bore water.
Right.
And then down along the road there, well, it's actually the Windmill Walk. Goes yes. from the Kooi Heritage Centre right down to the main street along the riverbank.
Mm-hmm.
We did notice that.
Okay. And then we've got the Cactus World.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking about down along this road. That's the biggest collection of cacti in, I think, the Southern Hemisphere.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Okay. He exports cactuses all over the world.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And then you go down further and, the observatory, unfortunately, we're talking about the chap that worked up here. He built that.
Right.
But it's not open anymore.
No.
Hopefully someone will come along
and open it.
And then you've got the main street. There's lots of other things to see in Gilgander, the sites of the old sawmill. We had three sawmills once upon a time, a flour mill, which closed down and then burnt in the later years. And let me think, out on a road, we've got what's called a corduroy road.
Right.
Do you understand a corduroy road?
No.
Well, not at all.
It travels from the village Kirban west. And in the days of the Cobb and Co. coaches on the Black Soil Plains,
right.
when it got wet,
yes.
the coaches would bog.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So they cut and laid white cypress trees side by side for miles.
Oh, okay. So that the coach could go across.
So the coach wouldn't bog.
Oh, wow.
And used only in the wet time, of course, mm-hmm. because it was quite rough. But it got through.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, another experience we had, we've got the opposite, just up here where the grain receival businesses are. We had a corduroy road there because it was raw sand and the wagons loaded with goods would bog in the raw sands. We went to the opposite.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Because it was too dry.
Yes.
Yep.
You laid a corduroy road there.
Oh. So that's probably where the name for corduroy fabric came from, is it?
Could have been. Could have very easily been.
Well, there you go.
I don't know the answer. We've got a what's called the Berrida Wool Shed.
Yes.
That you can ring up and make an appointment, go out and see the old shed. Very yes. old.
Mm-hmm.
There are photos of it here somewhere. I just can't see one quickly.
Mm.
But Gilgandra is an old area, although we're not the first town settled on the Castlereagh River, Mindurin was.
Okay.
Oh, right.
And then even this little village I talked about, Kirban, was settled before Gilgandra.
Mm. Okay.
But then we're known for mixed farming.
Yes.
You know, grains,
yep.
sheep, cattle.
Cattle, yeah.
Goats are coming in now.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yep.
And I don't know. There's a lot of other things okay. you can see.
So if someone was to come to the museum, how long would they need to take?
Well, some people go through in 15 minutes. Yep. Other people go through in 3 hours. It depends how you want to study, because a lot of the things have a little
story to
yep. them that you mm-hmm. can go and stand there and read.
Yep.
Okay.
And very interesting
okay.
to read all that, and you'll see the names of the people in the Gilgandra area, and as far as Walgett and that sort of thing, that they've donated things to the museum so that people can see them.
All right, well, that sounds very fascinating, Max. Thank you so much for taking the time to tell us all about the museum. Now, we're going to play an Aussie song for you. Who would you like us to play?
Oh, let's have the Seekers
yes.
and the Carnival is Over.
Okay, I'm sure Phil will have that.
Absolutely, Len. I can do that. The Seekers, the Carnival is Over. Max, thank you so much for taking the time today. It's been really great for us to be here. And I hope lots of listeners come through. When they come in through the area, they pop in and see you.
Yes, well, we do too. It's a very interesting town.
Yes.
We're known as a friendly town.
Yes.
So, been a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, there are several free camps in Gilgandra, aren't there, for overnight stay?
Yes. Yes, well, the council will actually be developing one between the museum here and the Kooi Heritage Centre.
Okay,
there'll be 10 sites there.
Fantastic.
There, you know, no services provided.
No.
Okay.
But this free camp is just across the road at the
Sporties
or the bowling club there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one up at the Railway Hotel.
Yes.
Yep.
And down the main street, the Royal Hotel. There's a small area there where people can free camp.
Mm. So you're going to be a very RV-friendly town.
Well, I'd like to see that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because you'll get more people here.
I've got a My wife and I have a caravan, and yep. we headed out last year for a 10-week trip that lasted 5 days.
Know the feeling.
We got to the South Australian border, and that was it.
Happened to us.
Okay, then.
Thank you so much for your time. Thanks. Now, stick around, listeners, for more of Roman Oz straight after the carnival is over.
Remember from last week, we had a very special guest on the phone, Mr. Barry Brebner, and he was talking us through his Work About Australia book, a fantastic book for anybody travelling this great country of ours. And what a way to travel Australia, pick up some jobs and get some money along the way. Now, he's come back with us this week. He's graced us with some of his time, and I know he's an extremely busy man. He's going to talk all about his second book, Workers on the Wallaby. How are you today, Barry?
G'day, mate. Great to catch up with you again.
Absolutely fantastic, mate. Welcome to the program, and thank you so much for gracing us with some of your time. I know you're an extremely busy fellow, and it's always good to talk to you, my friend. How's it all going in Dubbo? What's it like in Dubbo?
Oh, it's not too bad, mate. We've had adequate rain. I think the rural community's pretty happy.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, we're poking along pretty well, and the place is busy, actually.
Yes.
And locally, there's a lot of work about.
Fantastic.
Which is great.
Like your book says, Work About Australia. So there's work in Dubbo as well.
I think about that, mate.
Yep.
People say how hard it is to get a job sometimes in mm-hmm. the media and that sort of thing. But I look at we've got industries here in Dubbo, the building industry, the abattoirs, the they're crying out for people all the time.
Okay.
Unbelievable. Right.
Fantastic. Well, for the benefit of my listeners from last week, they would have heard about you talking about Work About Australia. Now you're going to tell us all about your second book, Workers on the Wallaby, a swag of stories, a collection of travellers' tales. Tell us all about this one, Barry.
Well, Phil, when I finished up with Work About Australia in 2011,
right,
my wife and I were going to just enjoy our retirement.
Okay.
Unfortunately, in 2013, I got quite ill. I suffered from cancer.
Okay.
And we had to move to Sydney for treatment and that sort of thing. And when I came out of that and got into, you know, back into feeling okay, I felt I had a lot of stories to tell.
Right.
And in my recuperation time, I sat down and wrote Workers on the Wallaby.
Okay.
I've got to tell you where I got the name from.
Yes.
I listened to Macca, Australia All Over.
Uh-huh.
When I had Work About Australia, Macca interviewed me probably half a dozen times over the years about, you know, jobs and where they were and what have you.
Right.
And he's always using the term on the wallaby.
Okay.
And I thought, right, that's where I'll put my book, Workers on the Wallaby, and I'll write stories about people I met during my Work About Australia years.
Okay.
And, mate, as it developed, I got the people to send me their photos, which are included in the book. And, you know, so I started one by one, and I picked out a variety of people, you know, so that they're not all similar, if you know what I mean.
Yes, of course, yes.
And, you know, now I look back thinking about it, talking with you today, you know, the stories that involve, you know, one of the stories, A Journey to Another World, for instance.
Okay.
Written by two people, by myself, but about Peter and Jan Kruger.
Right.
And they left home with their two small children.
Right.
And I looked at the development. They were away for quite a number of years, and they ended up at Catherine. And I called, Colleen and I called in there and stayed with them for a while they were working in Catherine. They bought a property just out of town. And a number of Work About Australia members did that, and that's what the club did. You know, they stuck together and talked to each other and what have you. But I've looked now, this is many, many years ago, and their children are both up and running. They're doing well, and it was an educational thing for their children to travel Australia for so many years, do their education by homeschooling, and learn about our great country.
Okay.
And, you know, they've gone on to bigger and better things. So, you know, that was just one story.
Yes.
What about a veterinarian of many, many years who wanted to hit the road and, you know, follow their dream? They'd always wanted to, you know, travel and work.
Yes.
And he ended up getting jobs on properties as the vet. He ended up doing some, you know, relief work when the vet knew he was there. They went away for a week's holiday and he did the replacement. You know what I mean?
Yep. Indeed.
And so they were the different one. I've got a tradesman, you know, who's been on the road for many years. As a matter of fact, he was in Dubbo recently. I went and had a beer with him at the local.
Oh, wow. So he's in your book, and then you had a beer with him, and this book was written a long time ago.
This book was written 2000 and when? It'd be 10 years, 10
yep.
years or so, not quite yet.
Yes.
And, I keep in touch with all of these people, Phil.
Yes.
As I do with many Work About Australia club members who now still belong to Work About Australia, even though I'm not involved.
Yes.
There is a movement of, like, a friendship out there.
Okay.
It's a culture of people who, some people travel together.
That's true.
I mean, I still keep in touch with a couple who came here from New Zealand. And their story was from New Zealand to the Alice.
Okay.
And it was they got into Australia and they went to the Brisbane caravan show.
Right.
And they came to one of my seminars. They joined Workabout Australia.
Okay.
And when I look back on their work,
yep.
You know, what they did, they got a job on in a caravan park. I think it was Goondiwindi.
Okay.
He worked as a truck driver in other areas.
Okay.
And, you know, and ended up in Alice Springs. They've now gone back to New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
They're back in New Zealand, and okay. I have spoken to them, you know, a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
I give them a call or they give me a call and just say hello.
Yep. I'm so, just looking at that now in your book. That'd be Warren and Karen Blue.
Is that them?
That's them from New Zealand. From New Zealand to the Alice.
New Zealand to the Alice. Can I tell you a funny aspect of that story?
Sure, absolutely.
When they registered at the Brisbane Caravan Show, she filled out the membership form, and she put her name down, Karen Blue.
Okay.
And I said, "What, Karen Blue?"
Yep.
My daughter, a bit younger than me.
Okay.
She married a Don Blue,
right,
from New Zealand.
Okay.
And it turned out that Warren and Don were cousins.
Right.
And wow. they hadn't, like Don's been in Australia for many, many years,
mm-hmm.
and met my daughter in Adelaide, as a matter of fact, and then they got married and they now live in Queensland. But they joined, and her name was Karen Blue, the same as my daughter.
Right. Amazing. What are the chances? Are the chances?
I wouldn't believe it, wouldn't
you? Not at all. At all.
Yeah.
Well, look, I think this is a fascinating book. You've got about 11 or 12 groups of people you've written about. Helen and Greg and Karen and Warren and Lindsay Livingston.
The other interesting one is A Road to a Dream.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about that one.
That's very interesting because it's a woman on her own whose children had left the nest.
Okay.
And she wanted to travel and work.
Okay.
And she did. She had one of those, accommodation vans. What do you call them? Camper vans.
Yep.
Yeah. And she headed off. And mm-hmm. her story is fascinating.
Okay.
You know, she met some great people, saw some great things, and I still communicate with her as well.
Okay.
And, you know, all of these people are just, they've got a story to tell, and hopefully I've been able to tell it in Workers on the Wallaby.
Look, it's a great-looking book. There's lots of really lovely photographs in here as well. I'm just looking at one here, Camels on the Trek to the Barossa Valley, and some fantastic photographs. And I'm sure my listeners are going to love this. I'm going to give away a couple of copies of this, Barry, to some of my listeners.
That'd be lovely.
Yeah, yep. I think I'm going to just say at the end of this segment, the first couple of people who call me up, they're going to win themselves a copy of Workers on the Wallaby, a swag full of stories. So many people like to read on the road. I found this. I've done an interview, or rather my partner did an interview with Carly Lane. She's a very famous author that lives up here. She's one of Australia's bestsellers. Right. And I guess people on the road have said to me, "Oh, you need to interview authors, you know, because we love to read. People love to read, and we interviewed Carly before. She writes novels, and this one here is swag full of stories. I think this is going to be a fascinating read for some for a couple of lucky winners. Is there any other interesting one in there, Barry? Before we wind this segment up.
Well, let me look. What about Hey, We've Done It?
Okay. Tell us a little bit about We've Done It.
Hey, We've Done It. I believe many people often think, gee, I wish we could work about Australia.
Yes.
You know, it's a dream a lot of people have.
Okay.
And that's what Greg and Helga Phillips had.
Okay.
They actually had, that dream to travel and work. And when they did it and we discussed it, I thought that was a great name. Hey, We've Done It.
Yep.
And the interesting thing is that I communicate with them a lot. They actually live at Greenvale.
Okay.
Where, you know, the Three Rivers.
Yes, yes.
The song Three Rivers.
The Three Rivers Hotel.
Hotel.
Yep.
And there's a photo in, I think it's in the book too, of the of the Three Rivers Hotel. And, you know, I still communicate with them. But they're all great stories, mate. And the other interesting thing I'd like to just say is that because I'm on the radio today,
yes,
if people go on to workersonthewallaby.com,
yes,
and they go in and put in the word radio,
yes,
they'll be a book will be delivered to them for under $20.
Okay. All right. So if they don't win a free copy, they can buy a copy from you, because this one is still available in hard copy, Workers on the Wallaby, whereas the other one is not available in hard copy. But they can get that information from the one we discussed last week as Work About Australia. They can go on the website and find out all about that.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Whereas the other one's a hard copied book. They can actually purchase that.
They can purchase that, and if they put the word radio in,
yep,
there's a special discount area there because I was talking to you.
Okay.
I'll put that on the website. If they put radio in there, I'll deliver it to them for under $20.
Okay.
That includes postage.
Fantastic. Well, it's a big book, listeners. I've got to tell you, it probably costs you $10 to post the blessed thing.
it does, actually. It costs. That is exactly right. It costs just $9.80 or something to post.
Wow. Okay. So they're getting this incredible book for $10, and it's not a tiny little book. It's just like a 300-page book with fascinating stories, some incredible photographs, and I think it definitely would be a very interesting read for somebody sitting around having a cup of coffee alongside maybe the Murray or some other fantastic river, just kicking back and. Going through this incredible
and
book and relax, Workers on the Wallaby. Barry, thank you so much for your time. Let's do that little plug again before we go. If they want to buy a hard copy, they go to
workersonthewallaby.com.
Yep.
And make sure they put in the word radio in the discount section.
Okay.
Then we'll have the book in the mail to them the next day.
Okay, fantastic. Delivered to their door for $20, and $10 of that is postage, so they're getting the book for $10. Mate, that's an incredible offer. Thank you so much for doing that for the listeners, and I am going to give away two copies to the first two lucky listeners who ring me up straight after your favourite song. What's your next favourite song for this segment there, Barry?
Oh, I've got to stick with Slim, mate, and we'll go Lights on the Hill.
Lights on the Hill for Slim Dusty. Barry, thank you so much. Barry Bremner, listeners, Workers of the Wallaby, and if you missed his discussion with me last week, Work About Australia. Fantastic discussion. Thank you so much for your time, Barry.
No worries, mate. All the best, and hope we catch up on the Wallaby.
We'll catch up with you again, my friend. Thank you so much. Now, stick around, listeners.
Mate.
Slim Dusty's Lights on the Hill. The first two listeners gets a copy of Workers on the Wallaby.
Oh, yeah. It's a long, straight road, and the engine is deep. I can't help thinking of a good night's sleep, and the long, long roads of my life are a-calling me. These rough old hands are glued to the wheel, my eyes full of sand from the way they feel, and the lights coming over the hill are a-blinding me. It's a long, tough haul from away down south. A man's gotta find a little bread for his mouth and a home for a girl as sweet as my honey can be. So it's down through the gears, she's a-starting to pull. The gauge on the tank is a-showing near full, and the lights coming over the hill are a-blinding me. There's rain on the road, I can feel the load start a-shifting in a dance. Too late I see the posts, and I haven't got a ghost of a chance. Oh no. The windscreen wipers are a-beating in time. The song they sing is a part of my mind, and I can't believe it's really happening to me. Oh, but I'm over the edge and down the mountainside. I know they'll tell about the night I died in the rain when the lights on the hill were a-blinding me. Hey.
I can feel the load start a shifting in a dance. Too late to see the post, and I haven't got a ghost of a chance. No. The windscreen wipers are a beating in time. The song they sing is a part of my mind, and I can't believe it's really happening to me. Oh, but I'm over the edge and down the mountainside. I know they'll tell about the night I died in the rain when the lights on the hill were a-blinding me. In the rain when the lights on the hill were a-blinding me.
Seventh Street Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au. Welcome back to the program, listeners. This is Roman Oz, and today we're at that point in the show. I always look forward to this. Mr. Jeff Diaz from Checkweight. How are you going today, Jeff?
I'm going well, Phil. How are you today?
Mate, I am having such a wonderful time. You know, we're on the road. And we've been out to the Tara Camel Races in Western Queensland, talking to the country music people for my other program, and Monday, the big music festival. So me, I'm having a ball. How are you going, my friend? How are you keeping?
Going very well. Every day in Port Stephens is beautiful, except when it's raining, which it has lately, but yeah, all year, really. But apart from that, if you're going to be, what do they say? A rainy day on the coast is better than a fine day in the office.
Oh, absolutely. Or a bad day's fishing is better than a great day in the office. Something like that. Anyway, mate, last week we were talking about fifth wheelers, and you mentioned motorhomes. Now, we haven't actually done a lot on motorhomes, and we're going to be discussing motorhomes on this one. What can you tell the listeners about motorhomes?
Look, I think motorhomes are, I mean, it's what is it, the evolution of caravanning is, you know, you go from swag to tent to camper trailer to small caravan to big caravan to motorhome to funeral home.
That's
aged care home to that funeral home. But, you know, motorhomes are a big progression for a lot of people once they've decided that they don't no longer want to tow a caravan.
Yep.
And I think there's some definite pluses, but there's also some minuses.
Okay.
So, again, you know, we mostly weigh caravans, and we've weighed a few motorhomes. But one of the things I've found with most motorhomes, and it's sort of similar to the caravans, is that they don't have a big payload. For a motorhome, you know, the bigger the motorhome in Australia, you're still restricted to 4.5 ton. Otherwise, you might need a light rigid license. So that's the actual GVM of the vehicle.
Right.
So the bigger the motorhome, the less payload you've got. Otherwise, you're going to exceed that 4.5 ton and then need a light rigid license.
Right.
And a lot of people want to avoid light rigid licenses purely because, you know, it's a different test. You know, there's different restrictions. So, you know, they don't necessarily want to go to a light rigid license. So if you're looking at purchasing or even hiring a motorhome, all important to make sure is what's the payload? Because all your water, everything you're carrying in the motorhome is in the motorhome. So there's no offloading it to the caravan or sharing between vehicle and the caravan when you're towing with the motorhome.
Okay.
One of the things, though, you quite often see in motorhomes and similar to caravans is where people start putting things on the back of the motorhome.
Yeah, like a small car or something, you mean? Or you're talking boxes and crates and things on the back of the motorhome?
I was talking about boxes, but we'll talk about the cars in a minute because that's actually a good point that I want to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, putting boxes and, you know, motorbikes or, you know, push bikes and things on the back of a motorhome.
Right.
is probably not as major concern as it is putting it on the back of the caravan.
Right.
But it still does have a an effect on your front axle of the vehicle. So when you're putting weight right on the back, if you're putting weight on that back of the motorhome, you gain, you're going to be putting more weight on the rear axle and lifting a little bit off the front axle.
Mm-hmm.
So most motorhomes, all the storage is you know, pretty well over the back axle already.
Yes.
And towards the back. So again, you need to be a little bit mindful that you're not putting too much weight at the back, mm-hmm. and lessening the weight on your steer.
Yes.
And your braking. Mm. Yeah.
Well, I had a situation. Excuse me, you've given it to me. Now, I had a situation in a caravan park where a guy was in a motorhome and he'd actually reversed onto the concrete slab, and he didn't realise how far he'd gone back, and he'd actually taken the rear wheels off the slab. And because this thing was a front-wheel drive, he couldn't get off the slab in the caravan park. So I guess the thing you've got to be careful of, if you're going to, like you said, put bicycles or a motorcycle or something on the back of your motorhome, it is going to change your steering. And if you do have a four-wheel drive, a front-wheel drive, well, that could effectively interfere with that greatly, couldn't it?
Absolutely. So it's just the same thing applies. You just can't willy-nilly put weight on the back or on the front, or you've got to be really mindful of where you're putting the weight.
Okay. Now, we mentioned earlier about motor cars. How does towing a motor car, you know, come into the weights and so on of a motor home?
Okay, so it's really actually quite interesting, and it's got something to do with the gearbox or the all-wheel drive, but Suzuki Vitaras have an ability to basically be towed and freewheel.
Okay.
So you'll see that a lot of motorhomes tow a Suzuki Vitara behind, and you'll have a big, you know, vehicle under tow on the back mm-hmm. window of the Vitara.
Yes.
And that's inherently actually an advantage, because you're towing it and all four wheels of the vehicle are on the ground. You're not actually adding any weight to the motorhome.
Really? So not even the weight of the car comes into it?
No, just the weight of the attachment.
Okay.
So you're not actually, because it's not on a trailer, it's not balancing.
Okay.
So that Suzuki is not adding to the actual GVM, gross vehicle mass, of the motorhome.
Wow.
So, you know, and if you think, well, if you put the Suzuki on a trailer and then attach that to the vehicle,
yes,
that tow ball weight would be added to the vehicle.
Oh.
Now, if that's 250 kg, that's 250 kg less payload you have in the vehicle, in the motorhome.
Okay.
So it's inherently an advantage. I will point out that you still have a gross combination mass for the motorhome.
Uh-huh.
So that's the combination of the Vitara and the motorhome. So you still need to be aware of that total weight.
Okay.
But generally most motorhomes have a pretty high GCM.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's such a confusing area. You're talking GCM, GVM, and people just, and even me, I struggle sometimes to figure it all out. I mean, I do understand it, but you're thinking, hang on a minute, you know, this is GVM, GCM. And I guess the average, and you and I have been chatting now for quite a while, so the average punter out there on the road probably doesn't really understand that all these different letterings. You know, I had a fellow the other day I was chatting to, and he thought the tare weight was the weight of the caravan. I said, no, that's your tare weight. Because he was talking about, remember we discussed tare weight, ball weight at tare.
Yes.
And I had this, I was trying to explain to this fellow, in a caravan park, and he was convinced that, oh, no, I'm 280, I'm fine. I'm just like, no, that's your tare weight. He was pulling this monstrous four-wheel drive caravan and thought he had a really low, it's the way it's been designed. It's the construction. I can get away with this really long tow weight. So
it is confusing, and but you know, that's why I enjoy doing what we do, and I enjoy, you know, doing these interviews to help people, and why I have information on our website. Like, you know, if you haven't already grabbed it, grab our free report on all the explanation of the acronyms. It doesn't specifically relate to motorhomes, but GVM and GCM still relate. Yep.
So have you weighed a lot of motorhomes? Because we said you'd mentioned like over 500 caravans, and you'd weighed a couple of fifth wheelers. Have you weighed many motorhomes?
Weighed about probably 6 or 8.
Okay.
And, you know, pretty well everyone was right on the limit.
Wow. Okay.
So they're very, very close.
Okay.
So again, there's not much payload in a motorhome, and mostly that is to ensure that they don't need a light rigid license.
Yes, because a friend of mine's hired one just recently. He's hired one, but he's got a heavy rigid vehicle license because he's in Toowoomba at the moment. He's just hiring one because, again, he was thinking of, I might get the motorhome as opposed to a large caravan. But he's got a beast of a thing. It's like 3.7 meters tall, and it's like, I don't know, 15 meters long or something, like a huge truck, you know, bus situation. But he does have the license to drive it, so he's fine. But what he has encountered on his trip is a few situations with bridge heights. Because he's just driving along thinking he's in a car, and then all of a sudden he thinks, wait, hang on a second, I'm following the GPS, and here's a low bridge, and he had to make a massive detour. So I suppose that's one thing to look into too, if you're going to get a real beast of a thing.
Well, yeah, my son drives a truck, and, you know, recently with all the floods, he was in Sydney and he was being diverted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he'd be diverted down a road where he legally wasn't allowed to drive down because of the weight of the truck.
Yes.
So I think it took him an hour and a half to drive 20 minutes.
Wow.
You know, it would have been a 20-minute trip.
Okay.
Because he had to keep on doing alternate routes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would have been, you know, similar if he had been in a caravan or a motorhome. You know, you would have been need to be very aware of, you know, the size of your vehicle, the length, and where you're going.
Absolutely. But that was very interesting to note. So if you do want to get a fifth wheeler, listeners, not a fifth wheeler, if you do want to get a motorhome, consider towing something like a Vitara, which just freewheels behind you and it doesn't interfere with the weights of anything.
But be aware there's a price premium on Vitaras because of it.
I think if you can afford to buy yourself one of these brand new motorhomes, you can surely find yourself a little Vitara. You know what? And it is the preferred tow vehicle behind the motorhomes. But I always just thought, oh, well, they want to go off-road. That's why they've got a little four-wheel drive. They want to go off-road and explore. Because it does appear to be the preferred vehicle that I'm noticing more and more of. But I had no idea that it was to do with the fact that they can just freewheel behind and not interfere with any of the weights.
Yeah, I believe, I mean, I'm not obviously an expert on that, but I believe that's the reason. And it's not something that's in all vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're preferred for towing. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, and obviously when you get to somewhere in a motorhome, you know, you want to duck down the shops and do some shopping and things like that. Mm-hmm. Well, then, you know, it's easier to do it in a Vitara than in the motorhome.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right.
Well, there we go. So, you know the drill. We discussed it last week. How do we end this segment? And you said, well, we're going to play a song. What are we going to play for you this week, Jeff?
Well, you know, we're talking about motorhomes, and I thought we'd do Driving Wheels by Jimmy Barnes.
Great song, Jimmy Barnes, one of the headliners at the Monday Bash, listeners, okay? I'll be chatting with him out there, and I'm going to be putting that song up right now for you, Jeff. Thank you so much for your time today, my friend.
Thank you, Phil. Travel safe and enjoy.
There we go, listeners, back with Jimmy Barnes' Driving Wheels and more of Roman Oz straight after that.
hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.